John chapter number 10 tonight. John chapter number 10. I want to read verse number 27 tonight for our text, for this message tonight. And this is kind of goes along with what Brother Shelton shared on Sunday night, hearing God's word. In John chapter 10, verse number 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Amen. You can be seated again tonight. I want to preach to us this simple title, Inspired to Follow. Amen. And Brother Matthew's already testified how, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to be patient. It's hard for us to wait. And that's why sometimes it's hard for us to follow. Sometimes we don't think God's moving fast enough. But you see, I've got to become inspired to follow no matter what speed the Lord may be moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody in here ever played follow the leader? I mean, when you were as a kid, maybe when we was adult, we've done it at school a time or two. I was an adult, 50 years old, we were playing follow the leader. You know, and so follow the leader. So what is the whole emphasis of playing the game follow the leader? You follow the leader. Pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, if the leader raises a right arm, what do? Raise your right arm. Let's do a little follow the leader here tonight. What do you say? I'm going to be the leader. Follow the leader. In other words, you follow whatever the leader does, that's what you do. Follow the leader. You follow the leader. If they march, you follow the leader. I mean, it's a simple game, very easy to play, and then everyone gets their turn. You get to be the leader for a certain period of time, and then the next person in line then becomes the leader, and they do follow the leader. And so, you know, it's not a hard game to play at all, is it? Except for that one individual. There's always one who says, "Why do we have to play this game? Why do we have to do it this way?" Basically, they don't like to follow. They just want to do their own thing, march to their own drummer. They don't want to follow. Well, I got news for us here tonight in the kingdom of God. If you don't learn how to follow, you will not make it to heaven. Because the only way you and I are going to make it to heaven is following Jesus Christ as He leads us there. Amen. Hallelujah. Inspired to follow. One of the hardest things for Americans to do in the hour we are living in is to be inspired to follow. They want to lead. How many's ever heard the little terminology, "We've got too many chiefs and not enough Indians"? That's not a racial slur at all. It's just a saying, because everybody wants to be the leader and nobody wants to follow. But how many realize that until you can learn to follow the leader, you'll never become a leader? You see, that's the whole purpose of the game of follow the leader, is to teach individuals how to follow so they can be the leader. Whew, praise God. Inspired to follow. In Jeremiah chapter number 10, verses 23 and 24. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." That scripture right there, you need to write it down about 5 times so you can get it in your mind. You are not able of leading yourself into the kingdom of God. You are not able of leading yourself into victory. You are not, I want to keep saying this, you are not able, you are not able. Wait a minute, Brother Pepper, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. That's right, but you are not able. You can't direct your past, you can't lead your life, you can't make it through life and make it to heaven without God's hand leading your life. Hallelujah. And this is why it's important that you and I learn and become inspired to follow. Get excited about following. Hallelujah. Get excited about knowing the voice of God. Hallelujah. I like what, I'm just going back just a little bit. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." Of course, that's what we're after here. But I like this next statement by Jesus Christ, "and I know them." Woo. Does Jesus Christ know you? "And they follow me." Now there's more scriptures there. It goes on to talk about his sheep will not listen to another. They know his voice, and another they'll not follow. That's in the scripture too. But what I'm after here tonight is becoming inspired to follow and realizing exactly how powerful it is when I learn the voice of my Savior, the voice of God, not just God's word. The voice of God himself. I know them. Now, hang on with me here. I'm 100% believer in God's word. God's word will always be the final say. But I need to know the voice of Jesus Christ, the second person, through the Spirit of God, the third person of the Father. All of them speaking to my spirit, to my mind, to my heart. I've got to know the voice of my master. I've got to know the voice of my God. I've got to be in a relationship that not only he knows me, but I know him. Hallelujah. And I know his voice, and I know when he is speaking to me on that personal plane. Hallelujah. And directing my path. You see, without the voice of God and knowing the voice of God, I will not be able to have my path directed. God's word is the general directive for all mankind. The Spirit of God is the personal directive of all mankind. If you try to separate God's word from God's spirit, you've just stepped into error. What's that mean, Brother Parrott? It means I don't want to follow. Do you realize you can take God's word and you can justify hating your father and mother just by God's word? That's not the truth of God's word. But if you just take what the words say, without the Spirit of God, without the love of God, then you can justify yourself and say, the Bible tells me to hate my father and my mother. Are you getting the picture yet? I've got to know the voice of God so that I can rightly divide the word of truth, that I can know what truth is. Hallelujah. John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you." Guide. That's the leader directing. "He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, for whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You see, the voice of God, the Spirit of God speaking expressly to our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Knowing that voice, knowing that spirit, it's not something you have instantaneously just because you've been born again. It's kind of like what Brother Lucas was sharing about, repeat after me, what did I tell you to do? Children aren't naturally born with listening ears to do what they're told. You always do what you're told? No. You always do what you're told? No. You always do what you're told? Wow. That's what I say, Brother Cisneros, do you always do what you're told? I'm sorry, brother, but I'm sure that Sister Cisneros has told you to do something and you haven't done it yet. Woo! No, we don't always do what we're told. I don't always do what I'm told. When the Spirit of God speaks, sometimes I argue. How about you, Brother Matthew? Do you ever argue with God? Do you realize we're not doing what we're told? See, when God speaks, we ought to fall on our face and say, yes, Lord. But we don't do that, do we? Not in this hour we're living in, because humanism is so dominant in America, we have to process it first. And that's the problem with the church world today, is they're trying to process things instead of knowing the voice of Almighty God. And when God speaks, they move. When God speaks, they go. When God speaks, they don't. Hallelujah. You see, it's the reality of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and being filled with the Spirit of God to where it's the voice of God directing me in God's Word. If it's the Word of God trying to direct me without the Spirit of God's directive, I'll move into error. Because it's the Spirit of truth that will guide me into all truth. And this is why it's so important. In this pastor's opinion, the powerless church is because they know not the voice of their God. They don't know when God's speaking. They're always wondering, is this God? Is this God? Is this God? If you're always asking, is this God? Is this God? You do not know the voice of God. That's doubt, that's fear, that's unbelief. What is faith? Knowing the voice of God. Hallelujah. Knowing the directive of God. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we commanded you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Wow. Glory. God's word is knowledge, information about God. But God's spirit is what puts it into my life. Hallelujah. To where it becomes a directive from God and not words on a page or not knowledge learned. Now, I know for a fact, knowledge itself will not save you. Oh, yeah. A lot of people are putting a lot of confidence because they know so much about God. Brother Matthew mentioned Charles Spurgeon. Did you know Charles Spurgeon was a pastor of a large church? And I do believe it was in England, if I remember correctly. And he pastored that church for quite a long time. And he was not even born again by the Spirit of God. He had just been raised in church, loved God, but had not been born again by the Spirit of God. And he found himself one night in a rainstorm, walking through the streets, and saw a little glimmer of light and heard some preaching and some singing going on first. And he made his way down that little street and into this little bitty storefront church, where they were having a church service, and the preacher got up, and of course this was Spurgeon's words of what he testified about. He said there was no eloquence about his preaching. His grammar was not very good, didn't speak very well. But when he began to speak, the Spirit of God began to arrest him. And he realized that he was missing a vital, important part of God's salvation. And he was born again by the Spirit of God that night in that little church by a preacher, lay preacher, there we go. This great pastor of a large church who had depended upon his knowledge for so long finally found Christ and began to learn the voice of God. So don't put your confidence in your knowledge. That's pride. Don't put your confidence in the fact you've been in church. The only confidence anybody can have is that confidence in Christ. Hallelujah. The Son of God who has come in, taken up residence. Hallelujah. And begins to teach us his voice that we may follow. See, one of the hardest things to do after you've been born again, and this is why some people backslide, they don't want to follow. They don't want to follow. Remember, Brother Shelton shared us the story of the parable of the seed and the sower, and how that the seed fell on different types of soil. And how that some, when the persecution came and the hard times came, they were gone. What happened? They didn't want to follow. Persecution is going to come. Jesus Christ tells us that in his word. They didn't want to follow. Follow on to know the Lord. Amen. That's what's got to happen. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This speaks of the personal plane and the personal relationship and how God is involved in my life. You see, if God's not involved in my life, it's going to go the wrong direction. I'll make wrong choices. I'll make wrong decisions, and I will listen to wrong voices. You see, I've got to acknowledge him in all my ways, and then he shall direct my paths. What does that mean? I've got to go to him. See, it's a relationship. I've got to go to him. I've got to go to the Lord. I've got to ask of God. You know, sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately. But our confidence is in Jesus Christ. And our confidence is in that God knows best. And our confidence is in the fact that we need his directive. And so then we wait on the Lord. We continue our petition until we hear from heaven. Remember what was shared about the noise in the mulberry trees? How that Brother Clendon and shared with us, you know, the first time he went out to battle, God said, go out, take them. But the next time he said, wait until you hear the sound of going in the mulberry trees. Both were directives, and both were directives directly from they weren't directives from God's word, were they? Please do not misunderstand me. God's word is forever settled in heaven. But God wants directive in our lives on a personal plane. We're not going to be able to run to God's word every time we're faced with a witnessing situation. That's why we're supposed to hide the word of God in our hearts, that I might not sin against God. But then the directive has to always be the Spirit of God for my daily progress and my daily situations. See, to know the voice of God is that no matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, if the situation arises, I need a directive straight from heaven. Heaven's there. Heaven's there because I've been there in prayer. I've been there in the Word. I've been there meditating on it. I've been there feasting upon it. I've been there receiving of it. Hallelujah. But that directive comes at that moment, and that's where the power is going to enter in to our lives, is when that voice of God is there and we move with that voice of God, and that's when the power of God will be displayed. Not when we're harbored down around that altar of prayer and asking God, we want to see your power. It's only going to happen when you're out there and he says, now's the time. Wow. Go read Acts chapter. We talk about the lame man at the gate. Beautiful. You gotta read that story, and you gotta understand Peter and John did not come by there to do what they did that day. There was a directive. There was this voice of God. Woo, hallelujah. And they had learned to listen to the voice. I'm talking Peter here now. Had learned to listen to the voice of God. You know, Peter, the one that argued with the Lord all the time. Yeah, when the Lord tried to warn him, Peter, you're going to deny me. You know, you think you're tough. You think you're brave. You think you're a soldier. But you ain't got what you need yet. Oh, Lord, I'd never. How many times have you said that and you did? Yeah, because you haven't learned to follow yet. Peter hadn't learned to follow. He was wanting to tell the Lord he was wrong. And what did the Lord tell him? Get thee behind me, Satan, called Peter the devil. How'd you like to be called the devil tonight? How would that go well with you? I mean, if Jesus Christ thundered a voice in here and said, you're the devil. Because you won't listen. Because you won't obey. Because you won't follow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, we just don't realize the seriousness of knowing the voice of Almighty God. But I'm trying to bring it to us tonight. I'm trying to get us to understand and see that I've got to become inspired to follow. I don't have to become inspired, and this is what happens. I've seen it happen too many times. We try to inspire people to do something for God. That's a wrong thing to do. I don't want to inspire you to do anything for God except following. I've seen it happen too many times. I've seen young preachers get out there trying to do something for God, and they never heard from God. But they got so inspired that they needed to do something for God, so they just thought of something to do and went to do it. It ain't supposed to operate that way. No. All you have to do as a child of God is follow. Just do what the leader's doing. And I'm not talking about me. Hallelujah. Do what Christ is doing. He's alive. He's well. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he can give directive upon directive to multitudes of thousands at one time. He can give it to you. He can give it to me, and that's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. He wants us following him. Now, I realize we're not going to be able to follow him if we neglect prayer. We're not going to be able to follow him if we're not building that relationship with him in prayer. We're not going to be able to follow him if we're not building our relationship with him in his word. But you see, we've got to know that that's not everything that he wants to do in our lives. He wants that ear hearing Brother Shelton, but not just hearing, following him. Hallelujah. Following him as he begins to direct our paths on that personal plane. Psalms 5 and 8 says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." An invitation for God's directive. Psalms 25, 5. "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Wow. I don't move, Lord, till you direct. I'm not talking about you just stand still, don't move. I don't make the decision without him. I don't make the decision until he has spoken. I'm reminded of Sister Ellen and us praying for her that Sunday morning. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And you could sense the power of God. You could sense the Spirit of God. I mean, you know, it wasn't like God wasn't here. But God wasn't bringing what we were asking. Now, is that a strange thing? No. God's not going to move at our every petition just because we want him to move at our petition. But he's going to hear our petition and he will move in his timing. That's how we learn to follow. Stop and think about it. Would you operate that way in training your child just to give them everything they asked for, every time they asked for it, everything they wanted, what they thought they needed? Well, I hope not. Hallelujah. No, we train them to discipline. That sometimes you don't get what you want. And sometimes what you want is not really what needs to be done. Whew. Hallelujah. But then the Spirit of God spoke. Heaven spoke. And it spoke directly to her. And peace flooded her soul. She was done. She heard from heaven. She knew it was time to go home. Wow. Glory. Hallelujah. That's how to operate, church. Why did that happen like that? So we could learn how to follow instead of demand. And don't misunderstand me. We weren't really demanding, but we were scratching our head. Okay, why isn't God moving? Why isn't the miraculous happening? Church, you got to understand, the miraculous is not going to happen until God wants it to happen. We can pray and prepare ourselves. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. To learn to be led by the Spirit of God in our worship, in our prayer time. And when he does move in tongues and interpretation, we need to learn to follow him and be used by him in those things. Because you're never going to be used in the gifts of healings and the working of miracles if you won't even speak in tongues. Or bring forth an interpretation. It comes the same way, church. The gift of tongues or the interpretation of tongues, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, it comes by the same voice. The same unction. And it's not going to happen until God wants it to happen. But if we're asking and we're praying and we're preparing and we're learning to follow, tell me. What's going to happen? Hallelujah. When they came out of that upper room, they were following Jesus. They were speaking in unknown tongues, and they were worshiping and praising and magnifying God to the point that everybody heard them praising and magnifying God. That lets me know they weren't doing it silently over here in a corner somewhere. They were lifting their voice and speaking in tongues, and they heard the wonderful works of God. Wow. Why? Because 120 had just been filled with the Spirit of God, and they were listening to the voice of God. Peter and John, where were they on their way to? They were on their time to prayer. See, prayer is a factor. It is. Don't misunderstand me. Prayer is a factor. But if they were depending on their prayer instead of that unction from the Holy One, the lame man would still be sitting there. Because we're on our way to prayer. We can't mess with you. We're going to pray. And prayer changes things. Woo! Don't put a lot of confidence or all your confidence in your prayers if you won't be obedient to the Spirit of God. Because you can pray all day long, all night long, and a whole month at one time and fast for 40 days. But if you never know the voice of God and do what He says, it'd be worthless. You got to know His voice, and you got to move when He brings the answer. I don't know if you remember it or not, but I preached a message one time, becoming the answer to your prayer. Yeah, that's what we need right now in these last days, is men and women becoming the answer to their prayer. Because their prayer is, God, we want to see the lost saved. Become the answer. Go win them. God, we want to see miracles. Become the answer to that prayer and prepare yourself and move with God so He can have someone He can perform through. So that's how they're going to happen. He's going to need a vessel to flow through. He's going to need a vessel that knows His voice. Hallelujah. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalm 27:11. You see, we have an adversary. You can rest assured he's speaking just as loud as he can in your ears. How many have realized that all of these movements that are very erroneous and very immoral and ungodly, they don't stop one minute. They shout it all out loud. And they don't stop at nothing to prove their point or emphasize what they want and try to silence you. What's it going to take to overcome that? Knowing the voice of God. The right word spoken at the right time in the right attitude by the Spirit of God flowing through an individual is what will put them in the place they need to be. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Inspired to follow. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who, when He is reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and the Bishop of your souls. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. See, His sheep follow Him. Can I add this in here? Or are striving to learn how to follow Him. He saves us. He cleanses us from our past sins. He puts a new spirit inside of us, born again by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ, the Bible talks about. And then He fills us. See, those things have got to transpire so He can fill us with the Spirit of God. It's got to be a cleansed vessel to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then He begins the process of training us to know His voice. To know His voice. And that's why sometimes we've just got to be patient. Because sometimes we've heard the voice of God, but it doesn't seem like it's happening. See, this is where faith is tried. Let me read this to you and I'm going to close tonight. The patience to wait for the vision. What is a vision? It's not necessarily dreaming a dream or seeing a sight. It can also just be getting that directive from God, hearing the voice of God, God speaking to you. It's God's intervention and revealing himself to mankind on a personal plane. Whether it's prophet or child of God, that vision is God revealing something to man. Habakkuk 2 and 3, and Brother Hatfield preached on this, used this text, I do believe. Though it tarries, wait for it. Anybody remember that message? Wait. Wait. And however many more waits you want to put in there. Until there it is. Patience is not the same as indifference. Indifference is who cares? We'll just wait until it happens. Patience is not the same as indifference. Patience conveys the idea of someone who is tremendously strong and able to withstand all assaults. Having the vision of God is the source of patience because it gives us God's true and proper inspiration. Moses endured, not because of his devotion to his principles of what was right, nor because of his sense of a duty to God, but because he had a vision of God. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:27. A person who has the vision of God is not devoted to a cause or to any particular issue. He is devoted to God himself. You always know when the vision is of God because of the inspiration that comes with it. Things come to you with greatness and add vitality to your life because everything is energized by God. He may give you a time spiritually with no word from himself at all, just as his son experienced during his time of the temptation in the wilderness. When God does that, simply endure, and the power to endure will be there because you see God. Though it tarries, wait for it. The proof that we have the vision is that we are reaching out for more than we have already grasped. It is a bad thing to be satisfied spiritually. The psalmist said, "What shall I render to the Lord? I will take up the cup of salvation." Psalms 116:12-13. We are apt to look for satisfaction within ourselves and say, "Now I've got it. Now I'm completely sanctified. Now I can endure." Instantly, we are on the road to ruin. Our reach must exceed our grasp. Paul said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. I press towards that prize." Philippians 3:12. If we have only what we have experienced, we have nothing. But if we have the inspiration of the vision of God, we have more than we can experience. Beware of the danger of spiritual relaxation. Patience to wait for the vision. That directive from God. Hallelujah. Never give up. Never quit. Never stop believing God. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, there's so many times that God, and it's all through the scripture, all through the Old Testament, the prophets and the Psalms speak of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was on the face of the earth, he made reference, they speak of me. But the devil didn't know it. The Pharisees didn't know it. The Sadducees didn't know it. The disciples didn't know it. But Jesus was trying to tell it to them and sharing those scriptures with them that he was going to die. And 3 days later, he was going to arise from death. But it wasn't in their way of thinking. It wasn't even in their grasp. But after that resurrection morning and they seen him alive, they began to grasp it. They began to believe it. And then they were regenerated. Remember that scripture Lindsay shared with us where he breathed on them? That wasn't the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They got that in the book of Acts. What was that? That was regeneration. That was that change of spirit that now gave them the power to tarry until they be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. You see, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have new desires and a new longing for more of God, and that's how you can go right on in to pursuing the baptism in the Holy Ghost of God, because you've got the Spirit of Christ. You've got that new creature that's been created there that desires God, that desires God's Word, that desires more of God, and that just takes you right into getting more of God by the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise be to the King. And then the baptism in the Holy Ghost opens up the door where I can begin to build my relationship and know the voice of my shepherd. I'm afraid that too many times people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they don't go on to develop the relationship that he came for. It just becomes, I've been filled. And then they stop. Spiritual relaxation that he spoke about. They think, I've got it. Well, no, it don't work that way. He's got you. That's how it's supposed to work. So that he can begin to lead you and guide you, change you, transform you, renew your mind. Bring the scriptures alive. Show you the power that's available to live the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Knowing the voice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is one of the greatest things of God's plan of salvation, is that God personally speaks to every born-again believer. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. And this is why every born-again believer needs to be baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, so that they can build that relationship and that voice of God becomes the directive of their life. Oh, now, if someone's coming to the piano this evening, I'll ask the question again. Do you always obey what the Spirit of God speaks to you about your life? What's good and what's lacking? Do you always instantaneously change when he shows you what needs to be changed? And the answer is no. We usually don't. We usually have to wrestle for a little while, because we begin to realize that we've got more control of our lives than he does. And we're not sure we want to change that area of our lives. That's when that old proverbial, well, that's just the way that I am, starts rearing its ugly head. When the Spirit of God is saying, that needs to change. Oh, but that's just the way that I am. Yeah, he says, but that needs to change. Now, you haven't heard me, God. That's just the way that I am. And he doesn't respond like we do. He just says, yeah, but that needs to change. He doesn't say, yeah, you're not hearing me. You need to change. That's not how he speaks. He just keeps coming and saying, yeah, that is the way you are. But that's what needs to change. And he will continue to just keep coming until we change. Hallelujah. And we hear, Brother Shelton, that voice of God. And we realize that's God speaking to us. You know, I use this word, I guess it's just something, the reality. It means you know it, you understand it, you're gripping it. But church, I'm fearful we do not have the reality of how much God speaks to us. When we open up the songbook, the old King James Version hymnal, God speaking. Yes, when we open up the Bible, God is speaking. But what's going to make the difference when God is speaking? When I hear his voice and I acknowledge it's his voice and I follow it, that's what's going to make the difference. Hallelujah. Brother Shelton shared it. Not a hearer of the word only, but a doer. Following the voice of God. You see, I don't know how many times you've read your Bible through, but how many will agree with me that every time you read it, there are things that speak to you that you did not see before? Which so shows us, and forgive me, how ignorant we really are to God's word. And it's not something we do on purpose, it's just because it is spiritually discerned. And if we read it without the Spirit of God involved, then we'll just go right over it and we won't see it. We won't have a reality of it. That's why when we come back again and we read it, wow, I didn't see that. Because the Spirit of God focused in at that moment and revealed that truth to you and me. It's already been spoken of and mentioned of and preached on how we are such a forgetful people. I have no argument with that at all. I forget things all the time. Especially now that we've got so many things going, I forget some of the smaller things all the time. But see, that's why I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. Because he'll help me remember this when I need it the most. Praise God. It's what I tell young preachers. Don't study for a sermon. Study God's word. Let the Spirit of God work it in you, and you'll never lack for a sermon. It'll just be there. That's how you can be proverbial instant in season and out of season. I mean, I remember coming up as a young preacher. My pastor was notorious. Step in the church on Wednesday night. I may do this, Brother Cisneros, one night. Come through the door. We had swinging doors. And swing that door open, Brother Maul stand there just smiling. So, Brother Pepper. Yes, Pastor. You're preaching tonight. Yes, sir. What'd you preach on? Whatever the Spirit of God spoke to my heart, that's what I preached on. And you guessed it, I'd preach for 45 minutes or an hour, just at the drop of a hat, so to speak. How can you do that? Because it's in here. I'm not just dependent on this out here. I'm dependent on this in here. And when it's in here, the Spirit of God can take it out there. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against studying, preparing, and outlining. What do you think I have here? But if I had to depend on an outline for every message I preach, I would be in terrible trouble. Because it better be in here to where you can preach it when you go out there. Ready to give that answer. Ready to preach that message. Did you know? I got to close. Stand with me here tonight. Did you know that Peter and the other 11 did not have a sermon outline for the book of Acts? But did you know that they had appointed deacons so they could study and pray and read God's word? But when they stood up on that day of Pentecost and Peter began to lift his voice and began to preach, what did he preach? What he knew, what he had saw, and what he had experienced. He didn't have this, but he had the Holy Ghost, and he had the truths that Jesus Christ had spoke to him. And what Jesus said in his word, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will bring to your remembrance those things which I have spoken unto you. Whew. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Inspired to follow. Hallelujah. I trust tonight I have inspired us to follow harder after the Lord. To wait more upon God. Oh, to tune in to that still small voice and to allow the Spirit of God to enlarge our hearts so that we can have a greater capacity of receiving those things that He wants to bring into our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. God of heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the written word. We thank you for the living word. We thank you, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord God, for the baptism in your Holy Ghost. And God, we thank you for your voice. Hallelujah. To lead us, to guide us, to show us, to direct us, God. Hallelujah, Lord, as we acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lord, that you can give us directives, oh God, and then having patience to wait when you have spoken to us, Lord, to see it come to fruition, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, knowing that your time is always the right time, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God of heaven, we worship you, we praise you. Lord, we rejoice in this great salvation. Hallelujah. Lord, it is so perfect. It is so thorough. Hallelujah. Oh, of reestablishing that communion with our God, that fellowship. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, that communication. Praise be to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, let's come around these altars. Let's find us a place of prayer here tonight. Let's talk with our God.